Let us turn again to the book of Psalms, in Psalm 115. We will consider it again, verse 15, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Psalm 115, verse 15. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And what we spent most time on at the earlier service was our first point, who are blessed. And going back in the Psalm, we understood that he is speaking to those that fear the Lord. Who have a holy regard for God and for his commandments, who have a new principle reigning in their hearts. They are not what they were. They've been transformed. They've been renewed. They've experienced the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. They may not be able to recognize when that took place, but they are to be seeking to recognize the evidences, prayerfully to recognize the evidences that such a change has taken place. So they're not what they were. They may not be what they desire to be. And they are not what they will be. You see, God has been working. And he has brought them out. As the Lord brought Abram out of the Chaldees. So sinners are brought out of Satan's kingdom. They're brought out from a worldliness, seeking their pleasure and their satisfaction in the things of this world, whatever they may be. They may be lawful in themselves, but you see, when we make idols of them, then we're not acting as we should be. There's all sorts of idolatry. And the people of God may have their idols. But you see, Abram was brought out from idolatry, and many a one since then, and those that, but at least many of those that formed the New Testament churches, as that is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, they were brought out of outward idolatry. Yes, they were brought out. But wherever sinners are, and when the Lord begins to work in their souls, there's a bringing out from worldliness in particular, trying to find satisfaction in the things of this world, not looking beyond the things of this world, not looking to God in heaven to satisfy them early with his mercy. Yes. And we took the first of the Beatitudes in particular to help us recognize the people of God, the people who are blessed. And that was, ye blessed are the poor in spirit. They have no riches of their own. They would be glad to stand beside the public, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. See the man's description of himself. A sinner. Not an Israelite. Not one who goes to the temple. Not one who observes the Jewish religion. Now these things would have been true, but what was more significant at his sight, because he was poor in spirit, well, he was a sinner. Yes, he recognized that. He was brought out from following the Pharisees, perhaps. He was brought out from a formal religion. He was brought out from worldliness. And now we recognize the direction of his heart. Where is his heart going? It's going to God in heaven. He's making use of the means of grace. He sees the sacrifice being offered. Well, that may give us some help in recognizing who they are that are blessed. And if we have these marks of grace, then, you see, there's conclusions to be drawn. That we have grace. That we are looking to Christ. That we are trusting in him. How many times is it repeated in this psalm, trust in the Lord? I haven't counted them. But there's more than a few. Yes, that's a blessing. Well, the second thing, and we just glanced at that, the second thing was the blessing. And the third thing was that God has an unlimited power to bless. And that's expressed in recognizing God as the Creator, the one who made heaven and earth, and seeking the Lord's help, we will try and address these two other points just now. First of all, the blessing. And I identified, on the basis of the Bible, I identified the great blessing for a sinner. That is salvation. In Psalm 3, we read that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon the people. If they are a saved people, then they have God's blessing. If we are saved, if we have been brought out as Abram was from the world and from false religion, and I'm including under the idea of false religion, a purely formal religion, a religion that doesn't have this in it, that I am poor in spirit. If I don't have that, then it is a false religion. If I'm relying on myself for salvation, it is a false religion. But you see, here's the great blessing. What a blessing for Saul of Tarsus, for instance, that he was brought out of the darkness of rejecting the Messiah. He was delivered from that. He was made poor in spirit. He had Christ reveal himself to him. Now, that was exceptional. And when people are brought from darkness to light, it's not in that way. Seeing Christ in his human nature, but it's seeing Christ as he is revealed in the Word of God, as things are said about him. For instance, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What rich teaching there is there. God the Father sent to be the Savior of the world. He sent him into this world that he might save. That the knowledge of salvation would go out into all the world. Yes, and sinners everywhere would be saved. Sinners everywhere to be separated from the world, to be brought out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Yes, those who were not a people, being made a people, their sins forgiven, being accepted by God as if they had never sinned. That's justification. Accepted by God as if they had always kept the law and kept it perfectly. Now, how can that be? We cannot undo the past by our own efforts. But we may be delivered from the condemnation of the past. And how is that? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's it. And what a wonderful thing that is. God the Father sending his beloved Son that sinners might live through him. New life, eternal life. There's another aspect of blessing, another aspect of salvation. Yes. And what else can we say? Many a thing. If we go to a good quarry to find stone, what do I mean? If we go to the Bible to find what we need, yes, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. The Scriptures testify of Christ. That's where we're to go to find salvation. A blessed salvation for sinners. Yes. You see? That's what we are. That's emphasizing our need. We're sinners. But where do we go to get deliverance from sin and its power and its condemning power? Where do we go? Oh, go to the Scriptures. Go and find the Scriptures preached. Opened up a little. And the message of salvation brought out of the Scriptures. And there it is summed up. I'll quote it again. The Father sent the Son. God the Father sent God the Son. And gave him a human nature. That in that nature he might suffer. And through that suffering unto death, he might provide eternal life for sinners. He might provide salvation. There you have it. Do we wonder where to find salvation? Do we wonder how we can be delivered from our sins? Oh well, let us go to the Word of God. Let us ask for the Holy Spirit and how ready the Lord is to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. We need the Holy Spirit to apply the truth. We need the Holy Spirit to work in our souls. Yes. That washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost that I mentioned already. Yes. The benefits purchased by Christ and the Holy Spirit applies them to sinners. We're sinners. What a wonderful thing it would be if, spiritually speaking, we would be going just now to search the Scriptures. We'll be going to see if we can find Christ in the preaching of the Word. When he is held forth, when he is raised up, as he was raised up on the cross, so he is to be raised up in the preaching of the Word. And we are to go and look to see if we can get a sight of him. Not some vision of what Christ looked like. If we were to have a vision, if How would we be sure it was Christ? We've never seen the Christ in his human age. But you see, we don't need that. And I'm sure there's dangers in thinking of having a vision of Christ. That's not what's set before us as the way of salvation in the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. That when you come to 1 John 4:14, which I've been quoting, or John 3:16, doesn't matter. When we come to some verse, and the Holy Spirit is pleased to apply the truth of that verse to our souls, we would get faith. The gift of God, you see. The faith put into one soul. Faith working. Faith active. Faith laying hold of Christ, you see. Yes. A provision made known. A provision set before us. A provision put into our possession. I mean, in that we have the Scriptures. And we are able to go and hear the word preached. May we ask the Lord to apply the truth to us. This great blessing of salvation, when it's brought so near to us. Yes. And when it is brought so near to us, God forbid that we should miss it. God forbid that we should neglect it. God forbid that we should be careless about it. Yes. Oh, let us be praying that the Lord would pour out His Spirit upon us in our need. Yes. In our need. And you see, there's something to supply our need. There's salvation. Salvation brought near. Well, you see, this salvation will bring a soul to heaven. And let us finish in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They have a blessing in this world, and in a saved state in this world. That in a saved state, and they'll be brought to the final blessing. What's the final blessing? Well, you might say, it's this. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The final blessing at the day of judgment, you could say. But then there's the blessing to all eternity. Continuous blessing. Received for the sake of Christ. Brought into it for the sake of Christ. But not only that, but there's the blessing when the soul of a believer is brought into the blessedness of heaven. Oh, there's a blessing in getting their bodies back. There's a blessing in being in heaven even without their body, in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ. Yes, what a blessing. The world is the poor when believers are taken away. The world at the benefit of their prayers for however long they were in the kingdom of God in this world. But, you see, what we should be looking for among other things is that the Lord would raise up others to be witnesses for himself. That the Lord would raise up others from this generation. That they would be converted. That they would have that blessing. Being delivered from the wrath to come. Being delivered from the kingdom of Satan. Being delivered from darkness. being delivered from sin and from its power, and brought into the kingdom of God, even in this world. That's a blessing. That's part of salvation, a great part of salvation, to be brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yes. Or we could think of the words of Asaph in Psalm 73. He's speaking about himself in a saved condition. He's speaking about himself as having received the blessings of God. He says, "Thou wilt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. There shall benefit from this, for this world. Thou wilt guide me. Thou wilt go on guiding me with thy counsel." The directions that we have in the scriptures. And he had blessings through having the first part of the Bible, and we have far more. What blessings we have. What blessings, so that the Lord would guide us with his teaching and his counsel. Yes. And then there's this, "And afterward receive me to glory." Not just for this life, but for the life to come. For the life to come. We cannot measure that. The blessedness of that condition. It's part of the salvation that the Lord has provided. But even in this world, what a blessing to be in the kingdom of God. What a blessing to know one's way to the throne of grace. To have a readiness to go to the Lord and prayer, perhaps in very brief prayer, to ask for his blessing. He is able to give it. And he is able to save to the uttermost all who come into God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. See that blessing. The intercession of Christ before the throne of God, presenting the merits of his work in this world. When he gave himself a ransom for many. Yes. He did all that was necessary so that sinners would have salvation. That they would have it applied to their souls. All those that the Father gave to him. From an eternity past. Yes. And there was David. And he was saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm a sheep. And I've gone astray like a lost sheep." So he prays, or whoever it was that wrote Psalm 119. "Thy servants seek and find." I need to be brought back. And how David needed to be brought back after his great sin. And he was. The Lord did not leave him to wander in the paths of sin. He was brought back. The good shepherd went for him. And brought him back. Having gone astray like a lost sheep. Like a lost sheep would. And he wasn't a lost sheep. Except that he had wandered. But the great matter of sinners being brought back. The great matter of God's people being brought back is what I really mean just now. When they have wandered. However far or however much less they may have wandered, he is able to brought them back, bring them back. Now you see, the Savior speaks of himself as the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? You know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Yes. He came into this world with a mission. And we might put it like this. He came to die for lost sheep. He came to suffer for lost sheep. Whenever they would come into this world, they would be lost sheep. But you see, he would come where they are. He would bring the gospel. He would send the gospel. He would reveal himself through the scriptures as the good shepherd. Yes. And he would send the Holy Spirit, and they would have the word applied to them, and they would be separated from the world. Yes, that great blessing. Sinners are blessed when they are separated from the world. Separated from going on their own way. Yes. Separated from going on in their own way. Brought into the kingdom. You see, by the drawing power of the good shepherd, he speaks and sinners come to him. He speaks and the word is applied to their souls by the Holy Spirit. Sinners come. They believe. And they follow Christ. I know my sheep. And I'm known of them. You see? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Salvation, blessing, what blessing, how great the blessing is, and we're to worship God because of the greatness of the blessing and the effectiveness of the blessing, so that sinners, when they are brought to Christ, they will never perish. As Christ says, neither shall any man or any being pluck them out of my hand. Not Satan. Not any of those who are doing the work of Satan. Yes. There's a sheep following Christ. And the wolf comes. Yes, he may scatter the sheep. But, you see, the wolf cannot go off with any of those who are actually sheep. The evil one going about seeking him he may devour, and he can't. There's a wall of defense about the sheep. The power of the great king on the throne of heaven. Defending the sheep, they cannot be taken out of the ways of righteousness. They cannot fall altogether back into the ways of sin. They have been blessed and they will be blessed. There'll be a blessing. Oh, be thankful for that when you are perhaps afraid of being led into temptation or being plucked away by the evil one. Be thankful that the Savior that you have found is one who operates within the bounds of a covenant. And he is the surety of the covenant. For his sake, it is made impossible for Satan to go off with any of the sheep. And the sheep are to be looking expectantly to the shepherd, who is able to keep them. Yes. He is able to keep what has been delivered to them. That's it. The great power of the shepherd. So that's our next point. Yes. But just now, let us think of Jacob. As we had that in the chapter we read. And Jacob was seeking a blessing. And Jacob was saying, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He was in a difficult situation. What would Esau do? Would Esau kill him as he had threatened 20 years before? Will he? Jacob has his plies. But you see, here was something else. When Christ comes in the appearance of an angel, and he will wrestle with the angel, and the angel expresses a desire to leave, here is Jacob, tenacious. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And that is to be an example to us for our situation in this world, or situations. Are we in desperate need? Are we in desperate danger? Are we liable to be swept off our feet, spiritually speaking? Oh, let us go where every one of us should go in times of trouble, and that is to the throne of grace. And we should rest, as if the Lord was unwilling to give us a blessing. Though perhaps that's not the way we should look at it. But as if, I will not let thee go unless thou wilt bless me. That's it. And may the Lord give us that spirit, whatever it is, something personal, something in the family, something in connection with the Church of God, something in connection with the state of the nation. And there's plenty there to take us to a throne of grace. But you see, the tenacity of Jacob's faith, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Yes. God, the second person appearing in this world, as occasionally he did, before he took human nature in a permanent way, when he was born in Bethlehem. Yes. But we are to be saying, as we go to the throne of grace, and as we think of the great work that Christ finished, great work that Christ accomplished for sinners, the great work that Christ accomplished for his people, and we should say, I will not let thee go. I have this need, and I spread this need before thee, and I ask thee for thy blessing, that I would be delivered from my present position, present difficulty. Yes. And that the church would be delivered from its present weakness. And however much further it might go, downwards, as far as its prosperity and strength are concerned, I will not let thee go. I will go on pleading. I will go on referring to the great work that Christ has accomplished. And I will try to think of the effectiveness of the intercession of Christ. And may that thought be in our minds. May we be thinking of the greatness of the work of Christ. And may the Lord so teach us that we might be saying, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That's the salvation. A little about it. And then, in the third place, God's unlimited power to bless. He made heaven and earth. He is the Creator. And if He created the world, surely He can do anything in it. Though, of course, the salvation of a soul, a new creation in the heart of a sinner, is greater than the creation of the whole universe. But you see, to make the worlds was a finite work. It was all less than infinity. It was finite. There was a limit to it. A limit to the power. A limit to its extent. But you see, here is a greater matter. And there is no limit to the Lord's power as far as that is concerned. The matter of the salvation of sinners. The matter of your salvation. The matter of the salvation of the whole church of God till the end of time. Yes, and we should be pleading that sinners would be saved, that we should be pleading for an outpouring of the Spirit. We should be pleading for that very great blessing, and it's altogether reasonable to do so because of the unlimited power of God in heaven, the unlimited power of Christ who died, who suffered and died for sinners, and the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit to apply redemption to sinners, to take them out of Satan's claws. What a grip Satan has on sinners. No human power can rescue. No human beings can be instrumental in the work of salvation. By way of advice, by way of pleading, by way of instruction, by way of prayer. But you see, the ultimate power, the real power, the effective power, is the power of the Holy Spirit for the sake of what Christ did in His great power. When he was in this world. Yes. And we have this in Psalm 146. We've sung it at the end of the previous service. Happy is that, happy is he, or blessed is he. I think the word blessed is more appropriate in our time. But blessed is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and all that therein is. He's the Creator. And it's the God of Jacob, you see. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his helper. Blessed was Jacob, who had this revelation from heaven at a time when there was no part of Scripture written, unless possibly the Book of Job. But, you see, Jacob knew God. And whatever defects there were in Job's life and thinking, still, he had the God of Jacob for his help. He knew where to go with his difficulties. He knew where to go when he was told that Jacob had died, that he was killed. Ah, but Even then, even if that was true, there was help in the God of Jacob. And you see, we are to keep remembering the people who are brought before us in Scripture. They obtained a blessing in various ways and at various times. They sought a blessing. They were granted a blessing. They were granted a blessing. How great is the goodness thou for them that fear thee. See that again. That's where we started pretty well. How great is the goodness thou for them that fear thee keepst in store. You see, however many and great blessings we have been given, the store of blessing is not exhausted. Far from it. You see, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who showed his greatness in that way, he could repeat all that over and over again if it pleased him. But as I was trying to say, the great blessing, the great work that God undertakes is the blessing of salvation. The great blessing that God undertakes in this world is the blessing of salvation, delivering sinners from the wrath to come, bringing them into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, leading them on safely. Yes, and you see how Jeremiah expresses himself, and his generation was one in which the cause of God was very weak. So much idolatry, so much neglect of God. But he says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And whether we are thinking about ourselves or thinking about the cause of Christ and trying to pray about these things, let us say, there is nothing too hard for thee. There's nothing too great. As we were thinking last Sabbath evening about Esther going before the king, and she is offered that she can ask for anything up to the half of the kingdom. Well, that was a finite thing. But we are to come before God asking for greater things than that. We are to ask for many conversions. We are to ask for particular conversions. We are to ask that the people of God would be strengthened and sanctified. And you can add to all that. You can particularize in any number of ways. But you see, what I'm saying again is, how great is the breadth, the length, the breadth, and the height of all the petitions that we are at liberty to ask. How great is the power, how great is the willingness of God to answer prayer. And he would have his children come before him in prayer. There's that verse in Isaiah when he says, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. And if the Lord puts that into our minds, we should obey. Even if it seems far too great, it's not. It's not. He wouldn't say it if it wasn't. We're to command him. We're given a certain authority. not saying that I would try to go into it and explain it. But you see, what it does represent is the willingness of God to have people come and ask for a blessing. His readiness to answer, to meet with his children in asking for a blessing, and even to meet with sinners asking for salvation. And there's the willingness of God to listen to the publican when he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me. And this is his humble description of himself, a sinner. May the Lord give us that in our heart. God, be merciful. And even God, be merciful to me, who come before thee as a sinner, asking for a blessing on thy cause, asking for a blessing on the world. God, be merciful. God, be merciful when I ask that many would be brought into thy kingdom. God, be merciful when I ask, even though a sinner, that many men would be sent out to preach the gospel. God, be merciful when I ask that thy people that I know and do not know would be kept and would be known as godly and would be obviously God, that a sanctifying work would go on in their souls. Yes, the Lord is ready to bless. Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I suppose you could say that when the disciples were waiting for the coming of the Spirit, what they were doing was commanding the Lord. I suppose you could say they were bringing the Lord's directions before for the sake of Christ. What he had taught them about what was to happen in the New Testament age, the gathering in of sinners, the extension of his kingdom to the whole world, they're going out into all the world to preach the gospel. That had been revealed, and so they can, in a sense, command, because their minds and hearts had been opened so that they would receive these things. Now they could express it as you have it. Thou hast said. That's very much a way that we're to go before the throne of grace, to say, thou hast said. Thou hast said that the whole earth will be filled with thy glory. Thou hast said that sinners shall be converted unto thee. Yes. Is it not to command the Lord in that sense from Isaiah? Is it not to bring before him what he has said himself? What he has given us to plead for? Yes. But just to go back for a moment to the publican, he has his prayer and he was heard. He was heard for Christ's sake and he went down to his house justified. He was accepted for the sake of Christ. And the sacrifice that he had yet to offer. And we are to make mention of the sacrifice that has been offered. And ask that we would be accepted for the sake of Christ. For the sake of his sacrifice. for the sake of his finished work. Yes, we are to ask, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May I be freely justified. May I be made holy and more holy. And we can go on. Yes. But you see, what we are told here, we are to trust in the Lord. Beginning at verse 9 just now, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. He is the one that helps. He is the one that protects. And lean on that by faith. Trust in him because of these reasons. He goes on, O house of Aaron, the priesthood, trust in the Lord. Any particular group within the people of God, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The people of God, you see. Those who are blessed, let them ask for more blessings. And then, the Lord has been mindful of us in bringing us into the kingdom, the people of God, they may say. And then, he will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless us. If he has begun to bless, he will go on blessing. He will never stop to bless those that have been brought into his kingdom, those who have been given grace to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Now, one further point. If the Lord is blessing us, then we are to bless the Lord. The last verse. We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. We are to thank. We are to make mention of his greatness. We are to make mention by way of praise of the greatness of the Lord's salvation, the greatness of his blessings. Yes. And we are to seek these blessings. And in particular, the unconverted are to seek a blessing for their souls. They are told, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, thou knowest us. We are poor and needy. We are sinners. May we realize what we are. May we come to thee in poverty of soul. May we seek thy blessing. May we recognize the encouragements we have to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Remember us, Lord, bless thy word, bless us as a congregation, bless those in particular who are unwell and are needing medical attention. Grant to bless that attention. Go before us now and always. Wash away our sin. Do us good and infinite mercy. Hear us graciously and love us freely. Be with us, O Lord, draw us by thy grace, and be working in our hearts, and build up thy cause. Bring down Satan's kingdom. Deliver multitudes. May we not be afraid to ask great things of thee. O, be about us for good, each one of us. And help us to be pleading with thee as earnestly as Jacob was. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Be with us this night. Be with us always. And do thou afterward receive us to glory. Prepare us for eternity. And grant to help us and keep us and guide us through this world. wash away our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.